You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Glee After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Glee After Show.
'80s up in here right now.
I know. Mm-hmm. It was '80s night on Glee. I think that was the unsaid thing.
Where are our shoulder pads?
We are. I think we're all children of the '80s. Yeah? Yeah.
Oh no, baby. I'm a '90s chick.
No way.
I am.
You make me feel so old.
You know
so
what? In rocking. Fairness, so am I. So.
What?
Well, bye, bye.
I feel so old then.
All right. Well, Glee, we're back doing another Glee After Show for y'all in case you couldn't guess. It, of course, is called Tested Tonight. It is season 5. I know. Roxy is excited to talk about this one. It is episode 16. I'm Stephanie Wanger.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
And I'm Sarah Mendoza.
All right. So this was one of those typical Glee crazy episodes. It's kind of on fast forward. We keep talking about the show being really stepping up from the hiatus, being on fast forward. And we saw that a lot in the relationships tonight. They are not taking anything slowly at this point.
No, and I think that the storylines that they're going with, because they are in New York and they're really trying to heavily hit us over the head that, like, they're adults now, they're on their own, and now mm-hmm. all these adult problems that they're facing with, I think is really good how they're touching upon that.
Yeah, it's absolutely great that they're touching upon things, especially because we have so many things that we've already gone over, and this definitely is something that hasn't been talked about. I don't even know if it's talked about on any shows that I can think of. I'm especially squeamish about it tonight because I'm going to call it our mothership show here only because it's our boss's show. Chasing Maria Menounos is also tonight very highly about sperm. So I'm just like a little spermed out today.
I was going to say, so this is your second after show about relating to sperm and all these things? All right.
And productivity.
And people going to get tested for things. It's just a very sperm kind of day for me, you know?
Could I say more now that Glee's kind of in New York, and it seems a little bit more mature. Can I tell you a funny joke, perhaps?
Sure, Phil.
Always.
This is from Mitch Hedberg, right?
I kind of want to say okay. No. Why did you guys all say yes?
I'm so curious.
Can't really say no to Phil.
I know. I was like, no.
You can say no to me anytime you guys want. Gleeks, hope you guys find this funny, and maybe you guys have heard this, because, again, it comes from Mitch Hedberg, the late, great Mitch Hedberg. But he was like, you know, getting the AIDS test is a little bit scary. So now I get the roundabout AIDS test. I just call up my friends. I'm like, hey, do you know anybody with AIDS? No. Cool, because you know me.
Okay, that is not what we're recommending for people out there.
No, I think that tonight's episode was the exact opposite message of that.
Yeah.
To make sure you're healthy. That was the message of tonight.
Just the opening of tonight's episode with that weird black and white.
I mean, a PSA.
Totally.
Yeah.
Just truly, truly bizarre.
But the fact that they paralleled that with World War II documentary type of footage style. I'm like, that's not what those documentaries back then were for. They were for, like, promoting war. Not really promoting war, but, like, promoting American and, like, stick together.
It was definitely a satire.
Like
Yeah. But in all fairness, the episode is called Tested, not only because of STD Tested, but also testing relationships. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of Tested that I want to focus on right now.
I was going to say, there were definitely two meanings to it tonight. Let's start, though, with Kurt and Blaine, who were definitely testing their relationship.
Right. Better place to start.
Right.
Give me a little sperm break.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
We'll be there in a little bit.
The night with sperm, okay?
So Kurt and Blaine, though, we saw them really going through. We were seeing kind of Kurt soar and Blaine, I hate to say fail or fall. Like, that's kind of where they're feeling emotionally.
Feel inferior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a common thing when relationships move to college. It can go that way, but they're kind of taking it to an extreme at this point.
Right. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and that's because when you do go off to college, especially when you're moving to a new city, you're in a new place, there's so many changes just individually that you go through, so that naturally whoever you're relating to, if you're in a relationship or if it's your friends or even your family, the dynamic is naturally going to shift in itself because you're a different person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Blaine, he's got his freshman 15, which I totally had, you know, and that's
hell yeah,
you
know, when you're
and
everyone.
Marissa's the only person to ever lose weight for her freshman year.
I did the
crazy
opposite.
Oh my gosh. See, but that's, I know friends who have gone through that too, and that's a big shift in your body when you're, you know, being more fit or.
Absolutely. I agree with exactly what you're saying, but I also think there's something else going on here, which is a little hard to describe, but you know how when you get older, kind of things that made you weird when you were younger now make you cool? Like, if you are 7 and you have a princess backpack, that's cool. But if you are 13 with a princess backpack, you're a loser. But if you're 25 with a princess backpack, you're trendy. And, like, you
well,
know what I mean?
It's
so
that whole idea of everything kind of comes back around.
Right. Yeah. And actually, like, being yourself is the cool thing to do. So Kurt, who was made fun of for who he was for so long, is now being embraced because, A, he's living that city life. And in the city, people really like quirky and different and weird, and that's Kurt. Mm-hmm. And B, because he really is comfortable because he was picked on for so many years that he had to overcome, and there's nothing that can really bring him down at this point. Blaine, on the other hand, is going through the exact opposite because he was kind of the man.
I have to say, the one I completely agree with, that's where they're at right now. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I found a little strange was I was so happy to see Kurt being embraced in this episode, that he has a place and Niata has obviously become a second home for him. But it felt a little like he was just had that incident, I think it was 2 episodes ago, where he was attacked. And you were just like, oh, so now he's loving life and exercising. And
they reference in the episode that it had only been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
again,
they,
that fast forward.
Mm-hmm. And also, mm-hmm. I mean, Blaine, if you think about it, if we're going in the Glee timeline, that Blaine just got to New York. Kurt's already been in New York for almost a year, a good year, so he's had that time to work out all the kinks in that transitional period. And Blaine's still going through it. He doesn't really know anyone. He hasn't really fully accepted Niata as his place yet. And also, of course, Blaine's going to compare himself to Kurt because that's only the only person he can compare himself to. And so just having seeing Blaine being insecure really shows that he is just his vulnerability. I really grew to like, and because, you know, we have seen him in Blaine when he went to his first school at Dalton. He was the man. But now that power shift that he says really makes him insecure. And I think so many people go through that.
And I think we've all been through that. It's hard not to compare yourself to the people around you. I mean, you want to try and have the confidence in yourself, and you may be a confident person in general, but I think it's just such a natural human thing when you're going through life to kind of use other people as reference points.
Absolutely. I agree with what you guys are all saying, but I am kind of with Stephanie on the fact that I like where we are now, but how quickly we got here, it seems like that episode, not this one, but that one was a little out of place. Yeah. Like, you know, he is being embraced and accepted so quickly after something like that happened, and maybe that was the catalyst for him being embraced and accepted, but I kind of wish we saw
I think they mentioned it in the episode that they were like, oh, you know, especially after this happened, he's been getting all the attention. And I just wasn't sure that one line was enough of a justification for me personally. Maybe everyone else felt like, no, that's totally correct.
Right, but I like where we are now. That episode wasn't necessarily my favorite. This one I liked infinitely better, and I think it's getting us back on track with the diversity of music more, and not that we had enough songs tonight because 4 just is too little. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. But I did love every song, so that's cool.
I do want to add, I like your points. I do want to add also what felt additionally weird for me is that after that just happening literally 2 weeks in Glee time for Kurt, that he's still not that they didn't show him still coping recovering. With that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be it emotionally or physically. Like, it's almost like it didn't happen in a way.
And maybe it will come back.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. I do have to say that I appreciated that we kind of saw Blaine struggling throughout the episode, eating, obviously emotionally eating throughout the episode.
Yeah. But it's so funny because Darren Criss obviously has not gained weight. So the way that they try to make him look heavy is by like puffing out his stomach so he looks pregnant. Yeah. But then we see him in scenes like the fencing scene where I'm like, you just look fit and sexy. So like, yeah. I don't believe you.
And right. At some point I was like, did you use like a body double to get this? Because it just felt like you're like, you know, Darren Criss is not.
Right.
No, but I'm sure he had fun eating all that junk food.
Yeah, right. Of course. But I have to say, whose body did really impress me was Chris Colfer's, who looks really great.
He does. He looks fit. Really...
He's got some muscles now.
And we got to see him a little shirtless.
Yeah.
Get it, boy.
It's been a minute. I think we've seen him shirtless early on, I feel like, in the show, but it's been...
He was a little scrawnier.
But that even goes to show, like, how much Kerr has grown as a person, because the first time he took off his shirt, he was insecure and he wasn't comfortable in his own skin, but now he is, and he's, like, flaunting it.
Yeah, as an early Glee fan, it, like, made me proud to see him so confident in this episode.
I think that a lot of it goes back to what our executive producer Kevin Undergaro always says about life. You know, you can't throw anything at him that he hasn't already been thrown at before. So it's not like any insult or any, he's already been beaten up. He's had slushies of it, everything that can kind of happen. His brother died, like all these things have happened. So I think it's this confidence, like, what are you going to do to me? You can't do anything to me that hasn't been done before, so here I am.
And also, going off that, Kerr has had more life experiences and more things to overcome where Blaine hasn't. And so when something troubling happens to Blaine, he's still trying to figure out how to overcome those things, because not as many tragic things has happened in Blaine's life.
Right. It's interesting to think about how his inner strength is translating to a more, like, masculine way that he's carrying himself.
Yeah, but it's difficult because they're kind of on the same career path, so it is hard to compare. And
which might be a perfect transition into our first song, because they definitely are battling in the beginning portion of this episode. And so they sing Love is a Battlefield, which of course is a Pat Benatar song.
Great song.
Right. I thought this was a really cool editing job, especially with the slow motion, the fencing, speeding it up, and the choreography, and I just thought it was really cool, really well done. I liked the song a lot. They sounded great, and it related to what was happening. And when you can take your emotions and physicalize, or how would you say that?
Physicality.
And put them into your physical self.
Yeah, into your physical being.
Oh my god, I
agree that,
you know,
we understand.
Yeah, I agree. The choreography was so on point with this number. Cool. And how they transitioned from weaponry to one, from fencing to sword fighting to all these things seamlessly throughout the whole number. And then even the hits of the weapon when they're, having their duels against, that lined up with the beats. And I thought it was so well done.
Yeah.
I loved the choreography. For some reason, it wasn't that I disliked it at all. I love the original version. So to me, it just didn't quite live up to the original. But I appreciated their voices are still incredible. Like, there's lots to like about it. It just wasn't quite to the original for me.
Well, on that point, it's just the uniqueness of the original one. It's like, I know what you mean. But I did think that they did a really good job. And it's not like I could see them picking any other actors on the show to sing this in a better,
100%.
But I know what you mean. When you love a song so much, it's hard to hear anybody do it
again. Yeah, exactly. And it just felt like they were trying to make it the same. Like, sometimes Glee does a new twist on something.
Yeah.
And this felt like, oh, wait, they're trying to do it the same way, which is cool, but it just wasn't quite there.
I don't think it was the same way, because if anyone has seen the music video of Pat Benatar of Love and Battle, she's in the streets hugging everyone. I mean, it's very singular.
It's a little more cheesy, right?
Yeah, it's very 80s cheesy, but she's very, her character in that music video, she's on her own trying to overcome things. And then this one's like taking the literal sense of fighting and being in a battle.
I think you meant more the notes that they were, they didn't really change any of the sounds or the riffs or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought it was amazing, but I see what you're saying.
So by the end of the episode, though, we see them kind of, I guess Kurt realizing why Blaine is acting the way he was, because he finds an adult website on Blaine's laptop.
I still think this is a very weird thing. Number one, I know some people get upset when their significant others look at porn. I just don't think it's a problem. So I just feel like Marcy even said this while watching. Get over it. Whatever.
It's like big deal.
But that's fine. If you do, then you do. Okay. But number two, he says, the people on Frat Boy don't judge me. Do they see you? Are you on Frat? I don't really
know.
Is that what the name of the website was? Yeah. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
No, I think he just means that, like, it's a passive experience. Like, you're looking at something. Like, they're not judging you back.
I just thought that was so weird. So, like, you guys haven't been into... First of all, not being intimate for a week, not that threatening of a thing. Like, no. I wish that they were like, we haven't been intimate in a month. You know, that's a little longer.
I was going to say that.
If not like being intimate for a week is a bad thing, then, like, I have weeks and weeks and weeks and years of my life that I really need to work on getting back. But
some couples don't even see each other every week.
Yeah, you know? I know. So I didn't. I thought that the stakes weren't high enough for that. But I also thought it was just kind of bizarre that so – were they implying that he's been jerking off to the frat boy website because and that's why he's not having sex with
what I took it as is that Blaine wasn't feeling a true connection with Kurt in the recent week in that in that week, and in feeling that lack he was transferring that energy into finding intimacy another way, and I guess it's through witnessing intimacy.
I was gonna say, or he or Blaine himself is lacking the confidence to like be with Kurt, and he sees Kurt as this like New Yorker who has all the confidence in the world, and he's still figuring himself out, so he's just trying to, you know.
Right, but there's nothing that makes you feel like a bigger pile of poop than looking at people with perfect bodies like they try to pick for porn. So I doubt that that really would be a confidence booster.
No, but I think it's still not dealing with the problem.
Yeah.
Him getting pleasure with no judgment in return.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Fine. But still, the stakes were just not high enough here for all they had to say was longer than a week. And it would have been like, ooh, but.
But I think
one week, get over it.
This whole.
One of them could have been on their period.
So are we agreeing that they could have made the same point without just saying like, oh, we caught you watching porn.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I agree that
again. I say no big deal. But I think this whole argument of being insecure and, you know, with each other, this whole thing was like, I have to say, really the most realistic argument and adult and like what they're going through. I was like, so many people can touch upon this, and I thought it was truly genuine.
Yeah, I thought that tonight was all about getting these characters back to something relatable that everybody can kind of identify with ups and downs in relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely agree with that. I think that this is a relatable thing. I think that everybody at some point feels inferior to a significant other. Sometimes you feel superior. I don't think that Kurt was feeling superior, which I think helps the situation. I think that he was just trying to help. And I think the most important thing in a relationship is to remember that it's not always... I mean, it never has to be one person rises while the other falls. You can be, as they say, running the same race as opposed to running against each other.
And I liked how they showed it during, for Glee, this during through a homosexual couple, because every time I see this kind of argument come up, that I always see it between a male and a female.
And it ends up being a gender issue.
Yeah, and becomes a gender issue and that power struggle. So I liked how Glee touched upon it with two same alpha males.
And what I like about Blaine and Kurt as a couple is no matter what they're going through, if they're one's feeling inferior and the other superior and they're having issues, they actually face the problem together. They talk about it.
That the problem was when they were passive about it at first, which was the issue, but when they do start to talk about it, they really can get on the same page.
They're one of the most supportive couples of each other, I guess you can say. Like, they're individuals and they're really trying to find themselves, but they're I loved in that last scene, I think it was the last scene that they were together in tonight, that they were, you know, really working it out between them and figuring out how to make it better.
Right.
And the best line, no Oscar is worth that.
I know. That I literally turned to Sarah and I was like, that's the best. But that being said, I think we should move on to Sam and Mercedes, who... this is a couple that last week we talked about that they were on Fast Forward, and we continued to kind of see that tonight, that they are definitely Sam was like, well, I can't marry you within a couple weeks. Like, they're definitely, like, very in love and trying to figure out what that next step is for them, and they're on two different playing fields in that.
Well, even for that whole love thing, I think I turned to you while we were watching tonight. I said, wait, they love each other already? And I know there's, like, a love and, like, affection that comes with someone you've known for so long since high school, but there's a difference with saying, like, in a relationship, I love you. Like, I am in love with you. I am romantically in love with you. And for that, in that way of love, I was like, wait a second. This seems so, I guess force is not, is it, it doesn't seem like it fits.
Too fast.
It's too fast.
I agree. And we've done the virginity thing. We did the virginity thing. And then Rachel. We did it again. And then we've done it every time. And so it's fine if Mercedes wants to save herself till marriage, but I don't want to be a part of the decision. I don't want her to be with Sam. I don't care about them as a couple. There is no chemistry there. What he did, if it had been with somebody I cared about, what he did was so incredibly romantic and sweet. I wanted to sit there and be like, oh, but I sat there and I was like, I don't care. And I'm looking on social media, and guess what? I am not the only one.
No, I think that...
Preach.
Yeah, like, come on, guys.
That's how you really feel about this.
You know I'm a sucker for the romantic moments on Glee. Right. And so, that being said, like, I agree that this relationship seems very on fast forward. But I was like, oh, it's so sweet that he... I was in that moment.
Thank God for you, because, like, I mean, man, oh, man.
I know. I get it. It was cheesy and a little forced tonight. I know we've said it in the past about that couple. But it's just one of those things where it just feels like it's too fast. I want them to maybe build the friendship for a bit and then... See, because I know they've known each other a while, but we haven't really seen them build their friendship.
See, yeah. But I think I see the friendship, but that's all I see. I don't see, like, what more, like, romantic
I did appreciate
chemistry
tonight.
Nuances happen between them that makes them a couple.
I'm starting to see the respect that Sam has for Mercedes. Not so much love. Definitely. Because we keep hearing all through tonight, you know, Mercedes is a virgin, she wants to wait, yada-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And then we see Sam, like, slowly, progressively throughout the episode, he's starting to get on board. Like, at first, he's like, well, if we can't do it tonight, can we do it next week? And then he... going to church and then going through all those phases throughout this episode, and then at the end of the episode, finally, like, if you want to wait... I'm there for you.
Yeah, but I thought the episode set it up so it would have made him look like a dick if he chose that he didn't want to be with
her. Yeah, I think
I thought they were going to go there.
And that's not dickish. Honestly, in my opinion, it's a thing. Like, somebody who is saving themselves until marriage is to be respected. But it doesn't mean you have to be the person that they're with.
That
and
they're dating.
I don't think it would have made Sam a bad person. And the way they were setting it up was if he chose not to be with her, then he was an ass.
He would have been the most hated person on Twitter today.
Right.
For sure.
And I don't think that's fair. I just think it's a different in lifestyle. You know, it's a different choice.
Well, I mean.
And both are fine choices.
Well, we were talking about earlier that it's all about honesty. Like, that's what we saw with Kurt and Blaine tonight, is being honest. And that's what eventually happened with this relationship, was that it was honest. Whether or not he was going to stay with her or not, he was like, I need to think this over.
And Mercedes was the only... I mean, the way the show was giving him no credit, but Mercedes was like, take all the time you need.
Yeah.
And I just...
He didn't take much time.
I mean, it's a very, very big decision to be with somebody you know... is saving themselves. I'm not saying it's the wrong decision. I'm just saying it's a big decision.
It's such a personal choice.
Right. Yeah.
It is. And I agree that honesty is so important in those instances. But I think with Sam, maybe he doesn't know. He thinks this is his personal truth. He thinks that he can maybe engage in a relationship without that part of the intimacy. But sometimes you don't know yourself and you have to figure it out the hard way. So he's going to commit to,
I think he's going to commit to this, but actually won't be able to
follow through.
I worry about that. And the other thing I worry about is the fact that they joked about tonight getting married in 2 weeks, but I'm scared that they're going to use this as an excuse to get married because they're going to end up wanting to have sex with each other.
Mm.
Like, that's ridiculous.
No. Yeah. No.
I wish I could invest myself in this couple because honestly, they're the only couple on Glee right now that I do not like.
It's not even that I dislike them. I think that that's not even missing. It just feels like if they gave it more time, it just was like, oh, they are living together, so they're going to date.
Right,
like,
I'm just not invested at all.
Like, that, it's not even, yeah.
It seems just convenient. Like, they fell into each other's laps.
Right,
and exactly. Then they fell in love because yeah. they were sitting in the laps? Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah, but they didn't do much sitting on each other's
we're
laps.
We're seeing the proof. But I will give it
oh,
to...
Muffin.
Oh, Sarah.
I'm sorry. I will give it to Glee that we're slowly seeing the progression of a normal...
friendship
of a normal relation friendship going into a relationship moving in together then the decision to have sex together then maybe the possibly the decision of having a marriage.
Let's put, can I throw so a wrench another wrench in this really quick?
Go for it.
I liked the millisecond. Okay, so Rachel mentions to Mercedes that she thought she might have a little feeling for Sam. Right?
Yeah. I thought that was a really cool part of the episode.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think we mentioned that at one point. Yes. We said there was a real possibility.
Almost a thing.
Because almost a thing, yeah.
See, but in that one moment when we flash back to that episode where Rachel and Sam looked at each other for that second and we speculated that something was going on, I have to say I felt much more chemistry in that one second with Rachel and Sam than this entire episode and last episode between yeah. Mercedes and Sam.
This is the yeah. thing with Mercedes okay. and Sam, is that I don't know that it's, like, yeah, it feels a little forced. There's definitely a chemistry issue there, but it's just that I feel like they, after this hiatus, it just was like, oh, we're going to fast forward and they're living together. It is, I understand what you're saying, that there's like a, there's sequence. There's progression, but in a lot of ways it feels like an almost backwards progression. Like, who moves in? Like, okay, we're friends, we move in together, then we, like, then we're going to hook up. Like, it's right. just, it, there's like a really weird right. sequence to
I
it.
Know that we're going to talk about this more in News and Gossip, but even though it seems like Cory Monteith's death has no effect on Mercedes and Sam, it has an effect on the entire show and where they went with it and mm-hmm. the need to get everybody, Ryan Murphy talks about the need to get everybody to New York to fast forward that. So I do understand that they were put in a crappy situation. I mean, to say the least, that's like a that's not a great way to put it, but for lack of better words, and they had to change a lot of things around last minute. So I'm trying to cut them some slack, especially because we have some amazing storylines going on. But they got to nip this in the butt because, seriously, people aren't loving it. And Glee relationships were so obsessed with Kurt and Blaine. Brittany and Santana, you know, with these relationships that we love so much. I don't want one that I don't care about. I don't want them to have screen time, you know? Right. I care about Sam. I care about Mercedes, but I don't care about them together. So when they're on screen, I'm like, uh-oh.
I just want them to be a little more organic. Like, I just wish that we could see that progression a little more. It's not that I hate them or never want to see them on screen. It's just that I want a progression of a relationship. I don't want 0 to 60 with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. My favorite part about that tonight, though, and you just briefly mentioned the conversation that we have with Rachel, and when she says that there was a brief moment between her and Sam, my favorite moment of the night was when they talk about whether she's going to move on or not. And she says, you know, there's this line between, yeah, from Finn. And there's this line between the past and the future, and she just isn't ready to draw it yet.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really, really great way of describing it. And I love when they address these issues head on, and it's even more eerie because she's obviously talking about herself.
Yeah.
She's talking about her character. She's talking about herself. And I do think that even if he was the one, maybe there is another, the one. And maybe she will find him, and maybe she won't on the show. We would like to think that she would find him at some point, but I thought that it was really, really unique and great that they put that in there.
Which is kind of a perfect teaser to, in our News and Gossip, we'll be talking about things that are happening next season.
Yeah.
There was a big interview with Ryan Murphy, and we'll be talking all about it.
So absolutely. But she was my favorite part of the Sam Mercedes storyline, which you know is weird because she's not really
she's
involved.
Not even
Rachel, though,
but she brought so much insight into her experience compared to a relationship that has really no experience.
Right.
So I thought that was good how they really use Rachel for that.
Mm-hmm. And they're totally girlfriends.
I know. So adorable. They are.
They're really only girlfriends.
In a way, it's also another way of not drawing the line between Mercedes and Sam because they're just going with what they know. They haven't drawn the line from high school and are willing to explore the other options that might be out there in New York.
Right. And she has a good point. If you can't say the word sex, maybe you shouldn't be having it.
Yeah, that's valid.
You have to spell it out.
That right. being said, you should definitely tell us what you think of this episode. There's please, lots yeah. of lots of things going on, lots of relationship drama. So you can rate and comment on iTunes or YouTube. We read them all. So definitely get on and tell us what you're thinking about. And we love hearing from you. I see all of your tweets and everything else. So
comments are awesome.
We love it.
Tweets are the best. And now...
Well, I was just gonna say something more, a little more positive about Mercedes and Sam.
Okay,
was the fact that I Want to Know What Love Is was amazing, and she
so good.
Kicked butt singing it. So
yeah, that okay. was my favorite number of the night.
But she did sing it to the priest,
preacher. Or, at first,
oh, yeah. It was so awkward the at placement first. Of it.
Yeah,
but
she sounded kick butt.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, how they transitioned her into that, you knew Mercedes was gonna go up there and sing something. Mm-hmm. But the fact that like the first 20 seconds of the song, she's singing straight to the
like holding his
the
hand,
preacher. The priest. Like, yeah. That's not the one you're singing to.
Yeah.
Go turn around, turn like do a 180 and right. sing it to Sam.
Also that's the underlying only. Message of like, I'm trying to decide if I want to have sex or not in this church.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
That was a little strange though. Like, yeah, it was just like, oh, the placement of this song is strange.
Right.
But
like, if you close your eyes, damn. Yeah.
And also
if
just
we
like,
put this on a CD subtle, and play it later.
Yeah.
But also the way she performed it, there was subtle gospel kind of preaching in rather than oh, just yeah. singing, but like she was like belting that.
Very
like,
Mercedes.
Like you so would good. In a church, and I thought it was mm-hmm. so well done.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the chorus was amazing too. Just mm-hmm. everything was pretty sweet about it.
So, Rachel and that song. Good, yeah. good moments.
We agree. That being said, Artie had a rough night. Another rough night.
I mean, talk about guy. Putting things on fast forward.
Yeah.
Who knew Artie was such a pimp?
No, I mean, that's what was kind of...
That was a surprise.
Yeah, because I thought that he was still kind of figuring things out and didn't like...
Getting his backpack stolen and stuff.
He wasn't suddenly right. the it guy. Another one that we... That was what, three episodes ago?
All of a sudden it's cool and artsy to be in a
yeah.
wheelchair.
Yeah, he was
yeah.
like...
episodes ago.
Okay, yeah, and he became the it guy... of his film school, which is awesome.
Cool,
but
good for him.
It's okay. Yes, it's cool, great for him. But being a film student myself and going through film school, I'm like, that's so mm. not true. But maybe it is for some people. I can't speak for everyone, obviously.
What's so not true?
But like, I always categorize like film buff, film nerds, you know, in school that like they tend to be on the nerdy side. Or a lot of us are cool, sure. But
you're
I
cool,
always
Marissa.
Like I can always see like the nerdiness in a lot of the film majors and stuff. So I find it really hard for Artie for his character being somewhat of a nerd.
But
and,
nerds can fall in love too.
Oh, they do.
But, no, but
and I'm not saying that
it was the people he was sleeping with.
I
that
found
weren't.
It hard yeah. to believe but, that he was pretty much a pimp.
Yeah.
No, but here's. Here's what I think it is, though. When you're in high school, everybody's in their little pods, right? You're labeled nerd, film geek, artsy person, whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Jock.
Jock. When you got into the real world, you get to... That pod becomes this huge aquarium of people who are just like you. And so when you are that and you're in this big aquarium of people just like you, you might be the cool guy in that
I mean, yeah.
bigger pod or
he's
whatever.
He's cute and his voice is freaking amazing.
Awesome.
And we know he's directed some things and he's probably got some good films. It wasn't so much that he was doing well with the ladies that confused me as much as the ladies he was picking that confused me.
Yeah. I just had a hard time believing from going from last week's with having no girls to this week
right.
having three girls. That's a zero.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we going to see more of Julie, do we think?
I think so. Because he seems to be still going after her. When he was in the cafe with Kurt and Blaine, he was saying that, like, I'll do anything.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't blame Julie for thinking he's a freak because
really
yeah, who does
that?
That
was
on
a
first date?
Real bad first date. I mean, honestly,
I would have left right then and there if I was Julie.
Yeah, me too.
Awkward
and
date.
The thing is, yes, if okay, if you have an STD, and you are about to be sexually active with somebody, you have to tell them. In my opinion, you cannot.
Yeah.
Knowingly give somebody an STD.
Yeah.
I think that is a not irresponsible thing to do.
Especially when you're not wearing protection.
Right. But a couple of things I have to say. Number one, this is not HIV. This is not herpes. This is chlamydia, and it goes away when you take a pill.
Temporary.
It's temporary. So if you could just keep your dick in your pants for a little bit, you don't have to say anything to her because you don't have an STD anymore. Not only that, but to be so presumptuous to think that you are would be able to sleep with Julie, it just, the whole thing.
Yeah, on your first date.
Yeah.
I appreciated the fact that
in the first 5 minutes.
That Julie was kind of the voice of reason. She was like, I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm on a first date.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is...
But all the other people he's been out with on first dates apparently are jumping his bones. Right. So he's just getting used to something, and now he's realizing, like, oh, some girls are not slutty McSlut slut.
Oh, I like forgot the one... how girls are.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, it was really like the one he was actually considering being serious with. Then he spilled
it. I love that part when he's like, I'm going to slut shame you.
I just like the fact that he was identifying what he was doing.
Yeah, it was funny. Sam's reactions, his facial expressions, we were dying for it. is interesting, and I think Lee just like tried to brush over this, but it was funny. Artie says, I have no idea how I got it. Blaine says, did you wear a condom? Artie says, no. He says, it's probably how you got an STD. Like, and then there was a little PSA for, you must always wear condoms, you know?
Right. I mean, Glee did not go without the PSA tonight.
Yes.
It was a very clear message in tonight's episode.
Yes. I mean, and I do actually like the way that Glee went with it, because having an STD can be very serious. And they still got the message out with a little bit of humor. And especially that's geared toward our audience, our demographic. I mean, it's geared towards everyone. But the way that they handled it, they still got the clear message across. Be protected. Tell whoever you might, you know, interact with. But the way they got it across was, I thought, pretty good.
I kind of agree, but I also thought that it might be a little offensive to people out there who do have STDs and are living with STDs, because it was, I mean, yes, we were making fun and light, and Artie was wearing that STD costume most of the time, and like everything, he kept hearing STDs, but like they didn't really address living, because this is one that can be cured and some of them aren't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like, I kind of felt bad for some people.
I think it's dicey territory to be in.
Definitely.
But
Hence the humor.
Yeah. Right. I think they were trying to handle it in what the Glee way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then they throw in that one girl who's like, oh, I don't care, it's fine. And then the other girl was like, I hate your guts.
But it is definitely that area where it can get really, really dicey. Very, very quickly.
But I liked how we got the two reactions from the girls. One's completely fine with it, one's completely not okay with it, and then one's the voice of reason. So we got, like, every side of how someone might react to something like that.
It felt very much like a cartoon way to deal with it.
I mean, I think if we're looking at STDs as STDs, then dealing with them cartoony is fine. But if we're looking at them as, like, legitimate diseases, which some of them are, I mean... Say that we were talking about a disease that people are more afraid of.
Yeah.
We wouldn't really be able to poke fun at it.
No. That's what I mean, is that they went with one that I don't think...
But it's dicey. You're right.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think
I wanted them to sit there and cry about having herpes for 45 minutes, you know?
Yeah. But I also don't know that, like, anything is, you know, that you should be laughing at any disease.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's an appropriate choice.
Right.
So it's a real... There's a real fine line.
That's why I can't even... I'm really surprised, even though they've touched upon some bizarre stuff, I'm really surprised that they really went for it this episode. I mean, they called it tested.
Yeah.
Do you guys really remember
in that beginning PSA when they said, get tested for STDs or you will end up RIP?
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Wow. Yeah,
that's how you're gonna address this. Yeah.
I mean, when it's a statistic.
But again, that promo at the beginning, that kind of set the tone for how they were gonna handle the situation later on through the episode with some humor in it.
But I think the statistic is that 50% of people over the age of 30 have an STD. So like, I think you probably pissed some people off with this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that we'll be seeing that on Twitter.
They probably piss people off with every episode they do, so.
I mean, they're really going for it with the topics right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sure they're hearing about it, let's be honest. Good and bad. I think some people are probably really proud that they're going there, and others are probably really not satisfied with the way they're handling it. So you will definitely have both sides of that.
Yeah.
That being said, some songs.
Yeah. I mean,
Artie's Addicted to Love going off of the.
That was really cool.
That was
a really cool song, man. I mean, I just thought he did a kick butt job. His voice is so good. I said every time he sings, I'm like surprised over and over again.
Yeah. I really appreciated the song. I don't think I loved it as an opening number.
Oh, see, I thought it was cool. I thought that just with the girls popping up and stuff, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked how it was edited because we had a lot of split screens here and there. Yeah. And that was really fun in the editing. And I felt that this song really reflected him as his character because he is a film major. And I feel like a lot of film majors, when they're editing projects and stuff, they will do a lot of split screens.
Yeah.
Being a film major, we have to do a split screen on at least one project to get it out of our system.
It's like, how do you tell the story?
That is Artie's way of how he would tell his own music video.
Really cool thought. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I liked it as a individual piece. Did I like its placement in the episode? Maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was fun.
Okay.
Fun dancing. Good song.
I was in the minority on that one. All right. So, the final song of the night, which we only had four songs again, which felt too few, but Let's Wait a While, which is, of course, a Janet Jackson song.
It fit. It obviously fit what was going on. And maybe it's just my Mercedes Sam thing, but it was like bizarre. And I felt just, I was looking at Julie the whole time, like, you poor thing. And then she started singing along. And I was like, what? And this is one of those for me that sounded good, but it was like, it made my skin crawl.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. I like this song too, Janet Jackson. You can't go wrong with her, but.
Unless you have a nip slip and then you're going wrong with her.
Or going right for some
people. Yeah, hell yeah.
But. Yeah, I mean, it was just awkward because, A, yeah, Mercedes and Sam deliberating if they should have sex or not is a weird topic. B, like, Julie and Artie, and that was right after their awkward table conversation about him thinking they were going to sleep together, her saying, like, what the heck are you talking about, and him with chlamydia on his mind. Like
7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
7 to 10 days.
Like,
not a week, 7 to 10.
What a weird
It was thing. A strange moment. Again, yeah. I kind of agree with Roxy on this one that it did, I liked it. Like, if I closed my eyes and listened to it, I thought it was perfectly fine.
Yes. But that's not what a TV show.
Listening to it was good. Contextually, the awkwardness of the situation was interesting. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, I did think the two comparisons of the two relationships going on in this number was interesting to watch. How we have one relationship with, you know, Sam and Mercedes. They've been together and now considering the possibility of sex. And then we have this new budding relationship considering the possibility of sex. Just the two different, how they're both comparing that.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool.
That's a good point, but I think that it pointed out to me even more the fact that I care about Artie and Julie's relationship more than Sam and Mercedes.
Wow, you...
I
have to agree. Yeah. Okay, I do like Janet Jackson, but did you guys feel like this was just like kind of lulling you to sleep at that point?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Slow paced.
Yeah, I was getting a little bored.
I know, and I was just like, okay, I don't want to wait any longer.
Yeah. And also, like, just Julie's face, because she wasn't really singing with them. She was kind of just standing there staring at Artie.
That was exactly what I would do. Like,
I just kept thinking, oh, you poor girl.
Yeah, I know.
You have to endure this on your first date.
Yeah. Oh. And not only is he like this, but clearly his friends are like this, too.
Yeah. And then, so, Julie's, what she said to Artie after that was completely justified.
Oh, yeah.
After this number.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so... perfect, kind of. That I'm really interested to see where that relationship goes.
Yep.
So, are you ready for some news and gossip?
Yeah, yep. I think we got some good ones today.
Yeah. AfterBuzz TV news. So, do you want the news or the gossip first?
News, hard facts. Hit it with us.
Right. So, Ryan Murphy, I mentioned earlier, did a big interview with Vulture talking about kind of the rest of this season and into season 6 of Glee. Mm-hmm. And he said the big idea, the big plan of what the series was going to be and how it was going to end radically changed with Corey's passing, which is something we've talked about repeatedly on our show. And so he knows that the final season won't necessarily be entirely in New York.
Right.
So that's fact one, which I think is really interesting. We've seen Blaine and Sam and Artie and Mercedes all move there, and we all kind of assumed that that was what season 6 was going to be. We talked about, like, this is it now. They're in New York.
Right.
And so he doesn't really mention where they're going, but that it it's the final season is really its own story, its own location. Well, the New York stuff will be alive. The final season is not New York centric at all.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So interesting.
Which has to leave us to believe that we're partially going back to McKinley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think so. And then there's a possible time jump for next season. So we're going to see in the final few episodes of this season that Rachel, of course, makes her Broadway debut. And we're going to see, is it a success? Is it a flop? What happens? We've all had our predictions right. about that. But it's what, I guess, there's going to be a final moment between these characters this season. And next season we'll deal with the aftermath of that. What that moment is, obviously, still a big question.
Mm-hmm.
So do we think flop, not a flop? What's going to happen?
The fact that it's... I know that he was talking about how originally she was going to thrive in New York. I think that she might still do that. Mm-hmm. But so I do think it will be okay.
Yeah. And Kurt, we mentioned this as like a piece of gossip. Maybe, I feel like it was last season, maybe the beginning of this year, that he might go to Russia.
Yeah.
And that is still on the table because Ryan Murphy did not deny it. Hmm. So something far
because eventually. Something about gay rights activists, yeah, Russia. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, but Russia.
I guess will Blaine go with him is the question.
Yeah, far-fetched and kind of.
So we're not New York centric, we're Russia centric?
I don't know, but.
International.
Let's all know that this film's mostly at Paramount.
Yeah.
Right. They're really good at building stages.
Yeah, exactly. So the final season also, we mentioned that they reduced down this season by 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week. And next year will be 24 episodes, and they're actually tacking on those 2 episodes that they're taking away this season onto next season.
Which good. Means not as many hiatuses.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be exciting. Good. That's a full season, and I feel like that's been a minute.
We need it, yeah.
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 You can't rip us out of, like, 2 episodes. Come yeah. on.
So,
they know.
And we've kind of assumed for a while, but the number of series regulars will go down. We kind of, the McKinley crew that we added won't be as prominent or around. Ryan Murphy says, at one point I felt like it was a cast of 1,000. The Lima stories were always supposed to be seen through Corey's character Finn, and that didn't work. We had to punt for a little bit once we got our bearings back. The idea is let's concentrate on the 6 people we know and love.
Yeah.
So okay. I think that's one of the smarter moves.
Right, absolutely. He did mention, though, sorry if you're about to say this, that we will see those McKinley characters at some point this season, though, before
they're
going to
tie it up. Yeah.
So we're not completely ditching them altogether.
Yeah, and I think that's good because if we were them, you know, being part of an original cast and joining that kind of ensemble, but then, like, being left again.
We feel ousted, yeah.
Like, right. No, we're going to go with the original people. I can understand they might,
right.
like, have the reason to bring them back and have them the proper closure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think a lot of the Gleeks, a lot of the fans did get attached to the new McKinley kids and to not at least say goodbye to them.
And the love triangle between Jake and Ryder and Marley, yeah. which is like...
Yeah, I'm glad they're tying that up. But
they are Gleeks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so they're, and they're kind of tying up those storylines, which is great. But they say that the Glee Club itself won't be making some big comeback. It's, he says, you might see it in a nostalgic way, but not in a way that we've seen it in right. the past. And the writers still aren't sure, which is something we talked about earlier tonight, whether or not Rachel will date again. So that character and the writers seem to be...
Hmm.
Relaying the same message, I guess you could say.
Right.
Yeah.
And he even said that they look to Lea Michele a lot and ask her opinion on where her character should go, which is really cool.
Yeah, she's always been so great and sensitive and wise about how to handle this stuff. So I think she's really been kind of the guiding light in all of this.
And what she feels comfortable with and what she thinks is right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, the Glee ending will be about now, because the original plan was, of course, to have it be about Rachel and Finn. Now that that's not possible, Ryan Murphy claims that it'll be about Rachel and Mr. Shu. He says it returns them to their origins, how they felt about each other, and when they were all much younger and everything was idyllic.
That's referring to the actual final scene in the final episode.
Exactly.
Is what they believe.
Yeah, because Ryan Murphy did say that, like, he already had a vision planned out for the very end of the last episode, but that obviously changed with Corey now out of the picture. Right. So.
As life changes.
Yeah.
It was going to be her coming home to the choir room with Finn there.
Yeah. Like, he had it already.
That they both had succeeded in their own worlds and then could join together, And
even as they're focusing on all these original characters, Ryan Murphy does want everyone to know that any character who's been on the show who wants to come back for that final episode is more than welcome to be there. So that, I'm sure it will be amazing.
Yeah, I'm so excited. God. I think the entire final season is just going to kick freaking butt.
Yeah, it sounds like he has a great plan.
Yeah.
When Ryan Murphy...
Very bittersweet.
We're going to be crying.
I know.
Don't leave us.
So, are you ready for some gossip?
Yeah.
So Naya Rivera and Big Sean got engaged earlier this year, or I guess in 2013, and they have actually split. She's been seen on the Glee set without her engagement ring, and it's been kind of covered that there's been lots of rumors and hearsay about what's going on between them, but what we can know for sure is that she's not wearing her engagement ring anymore.
Yeah, and his reps are saying that he was the one who called it off.
Yes.
I don't think her reps have said yet what happened, but that's gossip because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, but wishing her the best, wishing him the best, everybody, that's always tough to go through, especially in the public eye. And then on a much happier news, I feel like we can end that Diana Agron is now dating someone new.
Good luck to you right now.
I know. So they were seen at Coachella, and I hope I'm not butchering his name. It's Thomas Crokel.
Crokred.
They're both very good-looking people, those two.
Yeah. He's also an actor. Clearly, he's up and coming because he just filmed something with Anthony Hopkins, so good for you, baby. Yeah. I'm not familiar with his work, but he sure is cute.
Yeah, and they're adorable together, so hopefully that relationship will...
You make out. You suck face at Coachella.
Very cute together, so...
Too bad, actually, you didn't see it because you were actually there.
I was there.
Yeah, they were seen at the McDonald's party, so...
I should have said I saw it.
No, we would have believed you.
Predictions?
Well, we're getting some of our favorite, like Matthew and Jane, they're coming and visiting, and that's cool.
Yeah,
Will and Sue. Thank you. I don't know why, with the older people on the show, I just think of them as who they are, but I'm excited for that because, gosh, I miss them.
They're just so much fun, and I miss having that relationship and the mentors. I think that's like what's been a little bit tough. And
if you think about it, it's only been two episodes that we haven't really seen them, but how much they affected the show and the characters is just like, bring them back. We need them.
Right. And obviously my prediction is that they are coming on to see Rachel's show. That's why they're coming to New York. Right. So that's cool that they're still there as a support system. Shocked that Sue's coming there for that reason. She's probably going to make up an excuse why she's coming, but that's really it.
I like that we get a piece of McKinley coming next week with those two going to be on the episode. Mm-hmm.
And I really, really want Rachel to succeed on Broadway.
You do?
I fear that she's not going to, but I want her to.
I think she will. I predict that she will. I think she's going to have a lot of pre-stage jitters, as we kind of saw through the previews. Like, she's going to be going through it leading up to the premiere night. Mm-hmm. But I think she's actually going to show up and do a really good job.
I just want her to have a big moment, like, to feel the success and the hard work, like, all of it pay off.
I think it might flop, though, at first because of what happened with Niada. But then I think she will build and grow. But it's just because of how she dealt with Niada, I don't know how this is going
to be. Yeah, I think they'll probably touch back with that story because we see her drop Niada, but we didn't really see the aftermath of that. So I think we'll get that in next week's episode. I think it's because Rachel's such a talented performer and she has an amazing talent just singing-wise. I think maybe the Broadway show might flap in some way, whether it be financial or people just didn't like it. The reviews were terrible. But her as a person, I think someone else might see her talent and put her in another show for the future.
That's a good prediction. Yeah, I like it. Any others, girls? No. All right, well, we'll just have to wait till next week. Thank you so much for watching and hanging out with us. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephanie Wenger.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Serafini TV.
And you can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
Awesome. See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Gleeks!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.